two things I'd like to read to you. One is a poem that my cousin Ben Henderson wrote for Jennifer. And the other is a letter that my brother Alexander wrote that I read. And both of these were Ben read the poem himself at the memorial service in New York City in January, and I read the letter for Alex. I couldn't be at that service, and unfortunately Ben can't be here, and my brother Alex can't be here, who was badly hurt in a flying accident. He's going to be okay, but he was not able to come for us for the service. The poem from Ben. Here's the news. Shock enters and then logistics. Kind words spoken. Relatives travel to unite. Calls obeyed. I was standing at a deli counter ordering my usual tuna fish when it hit me, the full impact of Jennifer's death. The man behind the counter afforded me a respectful silence. I saw him there, paid, took my sandwich, and ran out the door. That's what I love about you. Any emotion, any time, any place is considered legit. The news hit. My head went into action for a while, denying my heart its hurt. Afraid it might overwhelm me, that I couldn't take it. My heart sank down inside me, did not want to come out. But here and now, my heart comes out. I recall so much. The time Jennifer at 3 ate a dried, decorated starfish on my mother's bookshelf. The time at 6, she ate a kebab. Playing with her and Tom and Alex till the summer settled down, and then some more. The visits we had at Moab or the Met, and snubbed the bad work there and applauded the great. Both of us had a very good taste of art. Her long, long messages on my answering machine, you might have gotten a few yourself. Our last meal together, Italian, for a treat. I recall her 3 a.m. phone calls when she had caught me at the University of Missouri. Her very wicked sense of humor, her irreverence and irony. When she was in the hospital, I caught her artistic touches on the cheap pictures there. A tiny ship she had collaged into a standard 5-9 photo of an ocean wave. A print of a country lake, she had pasted, sorry, no swimming in contaminated water. It wasn't obvious. It was strategically placed so the eye barely caught it, and when it did, it gave a sweet chuckle. Her sense of sarcasm in action once again. When she burned herself and was almost dying, I took her hand and sang to her, I can't kick her. Even though it looked like she cannot hear me, I think she did. She was such a unique person. She cried without compunction. She let us see parts of ourselves we'd rather not look at. She taught us to understand those like herself who do not fit in. It hurts, but we all know how she fought to live in a body that pained her so much. How her body would not let her rest, yet she fought. How she wanted to quit living at times, yet she fought. How she got up with things most of us couldn't stand to face, yet she fought. How she blamed herself for so much, yet she fought. How she felt useless, she told me once, yet she fought. How she wanted so much from life and felt denied so much, yet she fought. People talk about eternity, but I tell you here and now, eternity is not a place of time. It is not a hereafter kind of thing. For to me, God occurs in process, and therefore everything is right. Even this today. God lives on in each of us, and God does not stop, and neither does love. So we need not despair of this time. We need to take stock that no matter what Jennifer did or said, she was a wonderful and interesting soul, a real trooper, a lover of beauty, an animal lover, art lover, family lover, people lover. She so longed to love, And I don't know about you, she told me she loved me so many times without holding back. She had a great longing, and it takes a great soul to have a great longing. And in spite of whatever theories we have about what happens after so-called death, it is always time for us to respect life, to respect the visible and invisible, and to respect what we feel at this moment, all of us together, loving Jennifer as she was. Eternity lives in our hearts. This I know to be true. Thank you, Ben. This is the letter from Alex. I've edited it slightly because some of the people that Alex was referring to aren't here today. I spoke with Alex, so I said that. I want to, this is what I want to thank you all for being here, and I apologize for my absence. I can imagine all of you, so please try to imagine me. Quentin, you are everything. Kathy, Tom has been searching and waiting all his life for you, and his life, I know, is now complete. Thank you for coming into our lives. Thank you for your strength, caring, and understanding. Tom, what can I say? You are my brother. For those of you that knew Jennifer from her apartment building, those I do not know or may have forgotten, thank you for being here today. Thank you for being a friend to Jennifer and for taking care of her. Jennifer will always be my big sister. She took care of me in many ways, some good, some not so good. Today I want to share a story with you to explain what I mean. It starts off in Germany. There in the 1960s, on an army base, I played Pee Wee football. I wasn't a good third stringer, but I had potential, and I played on a very good team. During our season, we were undefeated. In fact, we only had one touchdown scored against us that entire season. Once during one of our games, the coaches wanted me to play a more advanced position, so they shifted me from my dead weight position of defensive tackle, I was a big little kid, to the more tactically complex position of defensive end. As I played that position, the other team started running at and over me. So after a few plays, the coaches took me out and put me on the bench. I was crushed at my failure, and I sat on the bench sobbing, my oversized shoulder pads heaving. I was crushed by a sense of failure. The whole world could see it. Jennifer was in the stands, and before I knew it, I heard her, and then the whole crowd chanting my number, and that I should be put back in. Well, the coaches put me back in, and the other team continued to run at me and over me. And the only touchdown that was scored against us that year was scored that day against me. But Jennifer looked after me, and that is all that matters to me, especially today. Jennifer has always looked after me. When we were students in college, she got me into the honors dorm, even though I was by far not an honors student. There with her, I met people who changed me and made me a better person, all because of her. Years later, she had caught me at Navy Sanctuary, when as a young adult, I sought to be independent. They let me stay with her in Columbia, Missouri. There, she spent time with me and took me to the bars. At one of those bars, she stole an ashtray for me because I thought it was cool. I still have that ashtray. Her friends there came by and they all took care of me. Later, she and Conrad took care of me in Boston. They allowed me to live with them. Their friends were mine, and there I befriended the famous Dr. Duck, and I was christened Uncle Happy by Quentin and Jennifer, a name which will apparently follow me to my grave. As a result of going to Boston, I eventually moved to the White Mountains of New Hampshire and began my years as a climbing club. Part of my life that has made my life and defined me for myself. All in all, Jennifer has been one of the most influential people in my life, my big sister. Because of her, I am just a father and Dostoevsky at 16. Just today, I finished the book she had recommended, and the other week, we had a cool conversation about Wallace Stevens and Sudbury Morgan. In our family, I was the youngest and always always sort of avoid the bubble. Jennifer freed me from the bubble. In the Navajo way, when someone dies, they intentionally dishevel the person, putting the right shoe on the left foot, things like that. They do this so that the beings that greet them in the next world will pay attention and prepare and reorder that person properly for the new world they are entering. In this world, in some eyes, Jennifer may have been disheveled. I imagine some of you here may have received phone calls from Jennifer at an opportune time. Whatever the phone is now, I will always hope that they be heard. And in my world, Jennifer will always be heard. Maddie's memories are uncertain. In the past that was differs little from the past that was not. We are all one. So those are words of others. I very briefly would like to say that Jennifer I think everybody has already said enough good things about Jennifer. Jennifer was a big sister to me, and she did a lot for me. I've been thinking a lot since her death about what I used to think before she died, but especially about these things, but especially after her death, I thought about it. Not a lot of simple sides to think about. One of the great things that Jennifer did for me was she introduced me to my friend. And that's been a lifetime friendship. On the evening of May the 2nd, I had a dream. And in that dream, these friends that Jennifer introduced me to, Joe Salinger, Philip Duffel, Randy Maxey, Luther, Skip Beach, who are here today, I had a dream of the evening of May the 2nd where Joe and Randy and Skip and I were playing in a band. I have musical dreams a lot. And we were playing in front of an audience. We were playing the song Laughing by David Crosby. And I woke up in the dream. I was just I was lying in bed. And I just felt the reverberations of the music. And I felt the beauty of the music. And, what I really felt was that was a gift from Jennifer. She introduced me to these people who are older than me, but who nevertheless sort of took me in. What I want to leave you with is just the last verse of that, which is sort of how I remember Jennifer. The last verses, I found someone who seemed at last to know the truth. I was mistaken. Only the child laughing at the son. Finally, what I want to say is that my mother has borne a lot. Mother and Jennifer had many difficult conversations and many difficult times together, and through all of that, mother never gave up. I've learned a huge lesson from that. That Jennifer, as wonderful a person as she was, could be tough on me. And she was tough on my mother. And through all those years, my mother never stopped loving her, and she never stopped supporting her, and she never stopped believing in her and wanting the best for Jennifer.